Congregation, with the help of the Lord, I will preach the word of God this morning from the scripture part that we have been reading. And the text verse for the sermon is verse 28. 1 Kings 3, verse 28, where we read as follows. And all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had judged, and they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to do judgment. The theme for the sermon is the wisdom of God. 3 points of attention. First point, the test. The second point, the solution. And the third point, more than Solomon. So the theme is the wisdom of God. 3 points, the test, the solution, and more than Solomon. Congregation, there is a legend, boys and girls, an old story that says that in a certain city, Gordius, there was a chariot, and it was tied with a knot that was impossible to untie. And there had been an oracle that said the person that will untie this knot, that person will rule Asia. And Alexander the Great, he came to that city and he heard about that knot and what was said about it. And he tried to untie that knot. He tried it for a while, but he didn't succeed. He saw, well, this is impossible. So what did he do? He took his sword and he cut that knot apart. And then he said, after sliding that knot in such a way, he said, well, it was not said how it should be untied, and, well, he was the one that ruled Asia indeed. So we call that sometimes a Gordian knot. We have in the Netherlands still the saying to cut a knot. If you have to make a decision about a difficult situation, difficult thing, you need wisdom how to do it. And he found a way how to do it. Yeah, wisdom is more than knowledge. You can have a lot of knowledge and still have a lack of wisdom. What is the difference between knowing many things and to have wisdom? You could say, well, wisdom is that you also can apply knowledge. Wisdom is knowledge applied, that you know how to do things in certain situations. So that's no longer theoretical wisdom or knowledge, but that it's practical, and in that way it is really useful, really wisdom that you need in life. How can you gain wisdom? Well, you can gain it by thinking. The Lord can give you understanding by thinking. You can gain it by examples, things that you see, that your parents do, that others do in life. And sometimes we gain it, we get wisdom by experience. And many times we have to learn the hard way. In the way of shame and damage, we learn how to do things. We get wisdom. But there's a saying, there's a teaching in the Word on several places that says, well, wisdom, you have to see that the fear of the Lord is beginning of wisdom. So the Word of God is teaching us there can be no real wisdom without a fearing of the Lord. And that is true. If we don't fear the Lord, if we don't know the Lord in a very personal way, we do not have real wisdom. We can have wisdom in what the world thinks to be wisdom, but at the end it will turn out that it was foolish. So real wisdom is beginning in the fearing of the Lord, and we all can see that probably, that the fearing of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's so special and so important that we also see that the Word of God is speaking about Christ as the wisdom. He is the wisdom of God, and He is given to man for wisdom. Yeah, why is it that we say, well, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom? Well, when we fear the Lord, then there is the light of the Holy Spirit shining in our hearts, shining in our lives, shining over the Word, so that we start to see the things that we do not see by nature, that we start to see how things really are. We see how short this life is. We see that we have a soul. We see that we are created by God to give glory to Him. We see that we all once have to die and to stand before the judgment seat of God. We start to understand all those things, and that makes that we start to see the things in this world in the right proportion, in the right way, that we get the right perception of things. You understand that? Otherwise we will value things of this world, well, they are not worth that much as we think. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We start to see ourselves like we really are. We start to see God like He really is. And we start to see the spiritual things. The fear of the Lord is giving us the right insight in things. Oh, I hope you all know that by experience. How precious it is when you have that insight, when you have that heart by the Holy Spirit to fear the Lord, and you receive that wisdom that the world never can offer you, never can give you. Well, Solomon had prayed for wisdom, and we see how he, while he was a young king, loved the Lord and prayed for wisdom, because he saw how impossible it was for him to rule as a young man over such a big people. Yes, the people of God, Israel. So the Lord gave him wisdom. And now this is put on the test, you could say. In this story that we read, we see that he came in a very complicated situation, very difficult to solve. So there was a real test, and the Lord showed that He really gave wisdom to King Solomon. Yeah, what happened? One day, two women entered the palace. In that days, the king was at the same time, you could say, the highest judge. The cases, court cases, came to the king, at least the difficult cases. And two women came to the palace, and the king had to solve the case that they brought before him. Two women. They were harlots. So what a sad thing that we find that in the city of Jerusalem. You could say there are those streets with red lamps in Jerusalem among the people of God. Well, the Lord had forbidden it. In the books of Moses, there should not be a whore among the people of God, but they were their prostitutes. It's against the will of the Lord. And we have it everywhere, in every country, probably in every nation, because of the sinfulness of man. But we have to be aware that many times it can be that women come in such a situation because of certain circumstances. So we can look down upon those women, but we should see that many times there's a big responsibility also of society that these things happen. Of course, not only the women that are guilty, but also the men that are visiting them. But at the same time, there can be circumstances that almost are forcing those women into this situation. So it could be that those women are women that are divorced by their husbands and left alone, and that everybody, you know, would look down upon them, nobody would give them a job, and that they, at the end, are forced to get a living almost in such a way. And we know that even there are men that are forcing women to do this to make money, to become rich. And there are a few magazines, some magazines in the Netherlands, that are writing columns of ladies that are helping those women. And as far as I can see, that's a very good thing, that those women are helped. Sometimes they come from another country, they are traded into the Netherlands, and they are forced in a way by criminals to get money out of them. And those women that try to help them, they say, well, it has been investigated, but it's only 2% of them that like to do this thing. So for the most of them, it's a situation of suffering that they came into, and they don't know how to escape from this situation. So some people go to them, there are organizations, there are people that are helping them to try to get them out and to give them a job that they can make a living in an honest way, and in that way can have, again, respect for, yeah, also for themselves. But this thing happened already in Jerusalem. Two harlots came to the palace, and they both have a young child, almost, you know, born at the same time. So two young children in this house, and the women said, well, the one woman that we learned to know afterwards, that she was the mother of the living child, she started to speak, and she said, we were together in the house, there was no stranger. So you could say there was no man visiting them that night, and they were sleeping, and they seemed to have the use to have the child with them in the bed. And one of the women was laying up on the child, and the child died in that night. Yeah, so that must have been a terrible thing for her to discover there. Well, my child died. I killed my own child. And there she was, alone in the dark night. And what did she do? She went up, she went to the other woman in the house, and she took the living child, and she put the corpse of her dead child to the other woman, and then she took the living child with her. That's the way that she tried to solve this tragedy in this dark night. And then in the morning, there's a shock for the other woman. She is seeing what that she's having a dead child next to her. And then when the light be starting to be light, then she is watching the child, and then she said, well, this is not my own child. The mother knows her child, doesn't she? Something is wrong. And she discovered what the other woman had done to her. And then they couldn't solve that together. And they came to the palace. There they are, before the king. You see them standing there? And now the king has to solve this thing. You could say there are now three persons, two women and a man, that you could pity. The one that had that sad discovery of having killed her own child by laying upon it. And the other one that found out that her child was stolen. And then the king, how can he solve such a situation? There are no attorneys or other people to represent, and only those two women, and he has to solve it. And it's special to see that Solomon is trying to do that. He's not saying, well, these women are living in a sinful way, so it's not worth to spend my time. No, he wants to do justice to them. That's good. That's important that we see that. We should do the same. Try to help people, how miserable they might be in their way of living. Yeah. And how is he gonna solve this thing? What a test about the wisdom of God. What a terrible thing this woman did in the dark night, isn't it? We are able to do those things. Well, I don't think there's a reason to look down upon this woman that was stealing the child. How many times did we do terrible things in dark nights of life? It was really a dark night because of what happened to her. It was literally a dark night. But we can have those dark nights in life, isn't it? And then things can come up in your heart that you didn't expect, that you maybe didn't even know that it was there in your life. Oh, we have those dark nights in our lives, isn't it? And then to come to the king, to come to him that is more than Solomon, to Christ. He is the only one that can solve it. So the first thought is the test. The second thought is the solution. It's really a difficult court case. How is the king gonna do this? Well, scripture says it's the glory of a king to search things out. That's what Solomon himself has written in the book of Proverbs. But how is he gonna do this? It seems to be impossible, because they both say, it's my child, the living child is my child, and there are no witnesses. So there seems to be no way to solve this thing. The one is saying, it is my child, accusing the other child that she had stolen the child in the dark night. And the other one says, nay, the living child is my child. So it ends up in shouting against each other. We all know those situations, probably children. You say, well, this is true. No, it's not true. Yes, it is. No. And then your parents have to get in between. So Solomon has to solve this situation. So what is he going to do? He says, well, bring a sword. You see the surprise upon the face. A sword? What is the king going to do now with a sword? That's not helpful. This problem should be solved, but we don't need a sword now. Well, bring me a sword. And the sword is brought. Why is he doing that? Now the Lord has given him wisdom. And part of this wisdom is that he knows what is inside of the heart of man. Ah, that's wisdom. I think most of us, when we grow older, we get some experience. What is inside of the heart of man? Inside of your own heart. Inside of the hearts of others. And yeah, when we say the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, when you fear the Lord is teaching what is inside of your human heart. The Lord Christ is teaching about it. He said, you know, the problem is not if you have washed your hands enough, but, you know, dirty things come out of your heart. Stealing, killing, envy, adultery, all those things come out of your heart. So when you fear the Lord, you start to know what is inside of your heart and inside of the heart of every man. And Solomon had some insight. The Lord has given him wisdom to know what is in the heart of man. And he is going to reveal that. He knows that there is that maternal instinct of a mother, that a mother will do everything to save the life of her own child. He knew that, and he uses it. And he knows how much envy there can be and will be in the heart when someone else is in a better situation. So that's what Solomon knows. Now he's going to get it out to solve this problem. So bring me a sword. Yeah. And then he is giving a command. He says, well, cut the living child in two pieces and give both of them half of that child. You see what happens. The expression on the faces of the people. The surprise is changing in horror. Is this really true? Is the king gonna do that? To kill this living child? That is terrible, horrible. How is this possible? Why is he doing that? And then the mother, the real mother, is gonna speak. She says, oh no, king, don't do that. Don't do that, please give the living child to her. And the other woman says, well, it's right. Do it. You know, that's the right way to solve this thing. And then someone knows. It's revealed what is in the hearts of this woman. And he says, give the child to her. She is the mother. Yeah, what a wisdom. It seems so easy. And you see how the people change now. The horror on their faces is changing in admiration. They're amazed. How? This is a solution. It seems so easy now. The king solved it. He really did it. What a king we have. What a wisdom he has! Can you believe it? And there the story goes. Throughout the whole land, they've been talking about it. In every house, in every village. Do you know what a king did? You know, he solved a thing that seemed to be impossible to solve. And all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had judged, and they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to do judgment. The wisdom of God in King Solomon to solve those things that seemed to be impossible to solve. He didn't do it himself. He couldn't. But it was the wisdom of God. So what we can learn from this story is that God has wisdom in abundance. And that God is really giving wisdom to man. in an amazing way, he gives what we need. So, what a rich thing if you think about it. Is there anybody here this morning that thinks, well, life is so difficult? So many situations that I don't know what to do. You can experience that when you are young. You can experience that when you grow older, when you get children, when they grow up and get in their teenagers. And you can experience that in the evening of life. Oh, what am I gonna do now? How can I solve this thing? When you are in the office, you can experience, oh, how can I do the things in the right way according to the purpose of the Lord? And I have to say, to my own shame, that there are too many situations that I try to solve it with my own mind. But I know that there have been several times that I really saw I need the wisdom of God. And I prayed about it and I expected it from the Lord, and that the Lord gave insights that I didn't have before. Showed ways to do it that I could not have found myself. So that's not only a story, boys and girls. It's really true. That's how God is. He's the source of wisdom. Adults, don't forget it. Parents, that the Lord is able and willing to provide the wisdom that you need. Are you struggling with that? Even when you grow old, it can be that your children, there are some things happening in their families or among them, and that maybe in relation to you, that you think, well, what can I do? It's so easy to make damage. That is true. And we need so much the wisdom of God to do what we should do. And the Lord is providing. So is there anything in your life that you say, well, it's like that knot that I cannot untie? And now that the Lord will give you the wisdom like Solomon received, so that is revealed to you what is the right thing to do. Oh, that will make you humble if you experience that. The Lord is giving you a solution. You will not boast in yourself. That's why the Lord is teaching us that we should come to Him to get wisdom. He is the source of wisdom, and He will be glorified in that way. So, young people, we have to kneel down. We have to bow before the Lord. Oh, Lord, guide me. You say, well, I pray about that, but, I do not see, I do not feel that the Lord is really helping me. The thing is not solved in my life. It's still difficult. It's for a long time already. That's a test. But the word is true. Do you believe that? And God is really able to help you. And He will, and probably He's already busy to do that, but you do not yet see it. So what a challenge to trust the Lord in difficult situations, and to continue to trust the Lord. Yeah, it can be that you pray, you say, I pray, but do you really trust the Lord? Do you really believe that He is able and willing to help you? Or not? This evening we will see what prayer is from the Heidelberg Catechism, and we many times we pray in the wrong way. And we are so impatient in our prayers. Oh, that we would persist. And that we would have that perseverance to continue. And we will see and experience and receive things that seem to be impossible. So that maybe that surprise that is now on your face, or that horror about the things that you see happen, will change in admiration to the Lord for the wisdom that he has showed, for the help that he has given, the guidance, the solution from the Lord that you never could make. Will you do that? Pray to the Lord for his help. Are you humble enough to do that? Is there faith in your heart? And that's also a gift of the Lord. The Holy Spirit is also given by the Lord. And prayer is the way to receive it. Let us sing before we continue. Let us sing Psalter 4:17, stanza 1 till 3. 4:17, stanza 1, sent forth, O Lord of my salvation, thy light and truth to be my guide. O let thy rays in my privation lead me unto thy habitation, where neath thy wings I'll be supplied with grace thou wilt provide. 4:17, says 1 till 3. congregation, the Lord Jesus Christ himself has taught that more than Solomon is here, and then he was speaking about himself. He is much more than Solomon. When we see wisdom in Solomon, that's great, but there's much more wisdom in the Lord Jesus Christ. And in that context, I was thinking about Psalm 72, where we find a psalm for Solomon. And it's so beautiful to read that psalm when we also think about Christ, who is more than Solomon. It says, "Give the king thy judgment, O God, and thy righteousness unto the king's son. He shall judge thy people with righteousness, and thy poor with judgment. He shall judge the poor of the people. He shall save the children of the needy, and shall break in pieces the oppressor." Well, that's what Solomon did, isn't it? He was the one that saved the child of the needy, and he was breaking in pieces the oppressor, turning the whole situation. And that is much more what the Lord Jesus Christ is doing in the lives of men and women, young people, children, in this world. Much more than Solomon is the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, there is a real problem in our life. There's a real case that we cannot solve. You see that? I hope the Lord opened your eyes to see there's such a terrible problem in our life. There's such a knot that we cannot untie, isn't it? What is it? You know, what is that knot that we cannot untie, that we cannot solve? It is sin in my heart. It is that we have fallen in sin, turned our backs to the Lord, our Creator, a holy and righteous and good God. Almighty, omniscient, omnipotent, and, well, that God, we have turned our back to him. We have, you could say, beaten him in the face by our sin. We have made him angry against us. We have brought his wrath over our life. And that sin that we brought into this world, Adam did that, our first father, and we are like him. We live the same way in opposition against God, in rebellion. And that sin is not only a guilt that we brought the wrath of God over us, but also has made us weak, has broken our possibility to live a life to the glory of God. So we cannot solve it. It's really impossible. We cannot pay back that guilt that we have before God. We cannot overcome the corruption in our heart, the depravity. We cannot live a holy life like we should live. So we cannot solve it. We cannot untie that knot. Do you see that? Some people pretend that they can do that, but that's really a mistake. That's really not true. We cannot. And it is true that the Lord has to open our eyes to see that, because by nature, part of our sinfulness is that we are so proud, and that we are thinking so high about ourselves that we think, well, we can manage it, we can do it. And that's what we are also thinking in religion, we can do it ourselves. And many religious people will even say that they do it themselves, but we cannot. We cannot untie that knot. What a situation of need. What a terrible thing if you discover that. But how terrible it was for this mother to discover that her child was dead. And now, how shocking if you discover that inside it's dead. If I'm really true by nature, I'm not interested in God. I'm not interested in His Word. I'm interested in the things of the world that I can experience, that I can see and touch and enjoy, that gives me pleasure for here and now. Outwardly, physically, I like those things. That's how my heart is. It's such a knot inside, I cannot untie it. I cannot change my own heart. Do you see that? We need to see that. Yeah, and then there are those dark nights that we try to solve it ourselves. We steal the living child. We try to solve it. Yeah, and that doesn't work. That will not stay. That's not the way to be saved. So at the end they came to the king, and that's where we have to be. More than Solomon is here, the Lord Jesus said. So that's where we have to come, to the Lord Jesus, with that tie that we, with that knot that we cannot untie, with that terrible situation of being lost in sin, dead in sin, to come to the Lord Jesus. Did you do that? Did the Lord bring you there? Maybe you say, well, I suppose that the Lord will not help me. That's what Satan says. That's not what the Word is teaching us. That's really a lie. Where do you find that? Why do you suppose that? Well, you know, I see how sinful my heart is. Mm-hmm. I understand. So I do not deserve the help of the Lord. I do not deserve that He will untie that knot inside, that problem of my sinful heart, that the Lord will solve that. I do not deserve that if I think about what I've done this week. And do again and again. Yeah. It is, and I already said it, it's so special that Solomon didn't say to those women, you know, you women, you're harlots, you live in a sinful way, so why would I spend my time to do justice to you, to help you, to help this, you needy, miserable persons? He didn't say that. Christ wouldn't say that either. It is true, they lived a wrong life, but still they deserve that the king would do justice to them as being belonging to his kingdom. He wouldn't withdraw himself from them, from helping them. Christ wouldn't either. Do you ever read that in Scripture? That the Lord refused to help the needy, that cry out for justice and for help, for grace, for the justice of Christ. Now, much more than Solomon is here, the Lord Jesus Christ. And He is doing what we never could do.
God has done it in his Son. That knot that man could never untie, the Lord found a way to do it. In much more wisdom than we see in Solomon. He in eternity provided a way in his law, in his own Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who came to this world to untie that knot of iniquity and transgression in man. How could he do that? Well, he did it by dying at a cross, up on the cross, being killed by man. He came to save enemies. We would never have been able to find such a way. It's really the eternal wisdom of God that he gave such a way. So that man, in all his or her weakness and guilt and impossibility, would come to be saved in such a way. Oh, what a source of joy and admiration when you find this way of salvation. It seems so easy. But it's really the eternal wisdom of God. And he came himself to do what we cannot do anymore. And that to be saved is to rest in the work of his own Son that he did on earth, being obedient like we should have been. And that he paid by his own life, shedding his own blood, taking the wrath of God, extinguishing that fire of the wrath of God in the blood of his only begotten, his beloved Son, God who became man. Oh, what a solution for sinners. When you see that, when you experience that, there's much more joy in your heart than there can ever have been in the heart of this mother holding her own living child again. What a joy! You can see it in her eyes. What a joy in your heart and life when you receive Christ, was born as a child in this world. You receive him as a gift of God for your salvation, and that you find everything in him, your righteousness, your holiness, wisdom, and a perfect salvation, and that there's nothing that you have to add. Deep is the peace, great is the joy, and you see it. When you find him, it's really the work of God. It's really the work of Christ. More than Solomon is here this morning. This Savior is here. In his word, coming to you, boys and girls, adults, children, to save you out of your misery. That miserable situation of guilt and sin and wrath to make you free, that you will know I am forgiven, there is eternal life, I will be with God for all eternity. Yeah, and then you still have the fight of faith. You still have to live in this world, a world full of unrighteousness, a world full of those dark nights where people are doing what is coming out of their own carnal hearts, envy, and all those things they do. Now you have to live in such a world to be different from the world. then you really need Christ and the wisdom of God to do the right thing in those situations. Not to react in a carnal way, but out of the Spirit of Christ. So we need every day this person, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is more than Solomon. There will be no day that we can do the right thing without him. When we live far from the Lord, even after receiving grace, we will live according to our flesh. We will be ashamed. We will do damage to the honor of God and to our neighbor. We need him every day. What a blessed life it is. If you receive that faith in your heart to know him and to expect it every day from him. Why are we not doing that? Are you doing that? Oh, it's so good. It is so full. It is so rich to live with him. Why are the children of God not doing that? Yeah, our faith is not perfect. And Satan is attacking us. And oh, our old nature is there. And sometimes that darkness inside is rising up. And there's resistance against living such a humble life. Being nothing in yourself. And finding everything in Christ. To come to him every day. Like those women came to Solomon. So that he will solve that problem that I cannot solve. That he will untie every day that knot of depravity in my heart. So that I will live that new life with him. To come to him every day. To be amazed. To experience that surprise and horror change in admiration. Oh, what a king we have. That rumor was spreading through the country. Oh, that this rumor about Christ would spread all over through our land. And all Israel heard of the judgments which the king had judged. And they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to do judgment. That people would hear about the work of Christ in the lives of and hearts of men and women, boys and girls, so that they will fear the Lord and give glory to him. People, they held Solomon in awe. Much more will people hold Christ in awe when they hear and see his wisdom, his power, his grace applied in the hearts of people. He deserves it so much to receive that glory. Amen. Let us pray together now. O Lord, gracious God, we thank thee and thou art providing in all our need. Oh Lord, those dark nights, to discover what we have lost. Those dark nights trying to solve it in our own way. But that there might be a new morning coming to the King. With our impossibility to find that a king is able to solve what we cannot solve, so that admiration will rise in our hearts, and that this glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is more than Solomon, will be spread throughout our land, from generation to generation. Lord, we pray that thou would provide so much of the power of the Spirit that proud hearts will be humbled, broken hearts will be healed. With the work, the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, and thy children will be encouraged and strengthened to live with thee every day. Forgive us our pride, our unbelief, O Lord. Forgive us all those many days that we tried to do it in our own wisdom, to find our own ways, to discover that it are ways without an outlet. O Lord, thou hast made it so clear in thy word that thou art the way, the truth, and the life. Bless thy word to our hearts, O Lord. And forgive everything that is not according to thine holy will. Lord, be with us today, every day. Help us in the catechism classes, Sunday school classes. Bring us together this evening again in thy house to hear thou speaking by the word and spirit. Speak to our souls, to our hearts. I'm thy salvation alone. Thou art so worthy to receive all the glory, praise, and honor. Lord, hallowed be thy name. We pray it in the forgiveness of our sins. For Christ's sake. Amen.